on which the Prince of Glory died. My riches gain I count but loss, and poor contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow.
I'd like to invite you this morning over to the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 25. Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 25. Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 25 reads this way. It says, "And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. We thank you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people. And Lord, to open up your word and to hear from you. And then again, Lord, being reminded that where two or three are gathered in your house, Lord, or together in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we thank you for your presence. We ask for the blessing of the Holy Spirit to guide us this morning, that we might hear from you and worship you in spirit and in truth. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message this morning is Two Reasons Why People Seek God. There may be some more, but in this particular text, we have two reasons why people seek the Lord. And that is basically for the glory of God or a personal benefit. In a nutshell, for the glory of God or a personal benefit. And so our thoughts tonight or this morning will be two kinds of meat as we consider our text. The bread of God will be the second thought, and then the missing ingredient. Again, two kinds of meat, the bread of God, and then the missing ingredient. And as we consider our text this morning, God, I just want to share this with you. We have a perfect God. Amen. Everything he makes is right. When we put our hands on it, fallen man, we make a mess out of it. But we need to be careful that God's word is the truth. Not a truth, it is the truth. There's no other truth besides the word of God. The world has an idea of what truth is. It is a perversion of the truth, right? If it does not adhere, if it does not line up with the word of God, it's not the truth. Now here, let me just share something with you concerning the world. The world loves the fruit of the Spirit of God. Gentleness, kindness, meekness. But as soon as they find out where it's coming from, that it has to do with the Lord Jesus Christ, they hate him. They hate, listen, the Bible tells us that Jesus said the world hated him. And if it hates him, then it will hate us also. But that does not mean that we should not stand in the liberty wherewith God has set us free, and to honor and glorify his name, because that is when the world will see the difference that God has made in our lives. We need to guard against listening or following the way of the world because we're only in it. We're not supposed to be of it. And God has given to us a new direction. The world has an idea, but God's truth is a contrast, really, to what they think. So if God does everything perfect, and he says, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost, is that the truth? Is God's salvation sure, or is it a maybe so? God said it's for sure, right? In fact, you don't have to turn over there, but in the book of 1 John, chapter 5, in verse 13, it says this, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, not I think so, I hope so. Listen, the world says this, ready? I know I have eternal life. Right? We can say that. And the world says, oh, nobody can know that. Nobody can know that. Well, there's a problem, because that is something that is in the mind of the world, not in the Word of God. So if the Word of God says something and the world is saying something different, the problem is with the world, not with the Word of God. By the way, listen, if the Word of God says something and you and I as believers think something different, or we feel something different, what should we do? Should we just continue going into our own feelings? Or should we stop and say, now, wait a minute, the Word of God says something different than what I feel or what I think. Lord, you show me the way that, Lord, you explain to me and help me understand this truth. Don't just sweep it under the rug and say, well, I just can't do that. No, God, listen, you brought it to my attention. I see the contradiction in my understanding and what you're saying. Help me understand your truth. Help me understand the truth and help me walk and follow after you, because God is wanting to lead us. And every time we see a contradiction, we need to stop and say, okay, God, I need some explanation. God wants to show us the way. But as soon as we start thinking in our own minds that what we believe is, listen, it just cannot be that God has called me to be a peculiar people. It just cannot be that God has called me to be a royal priesthood. It just cannot be that God has freed me from my sins. And that's not the truth. The Word of God says He has set us free. And so if there's a contradiction, we need to go to Him and say, Lord, I need this explanation. Now, God doesn't say that you will never sin, but He does say that we have an advocate with the Father when we do sin. But God has set us apart to be different and not to walk with the world. I mean, is that not in the Bible? And so if there's a problem with that, it's high time for the child of God to wake up, because, listen, Jesus is coming soon. And the world is surely not going to tell us what's right. The world will use biblical terminology, because the world, believe it or not, listen, everything that is right comes from God alone. It's not this idea that we've come up with. So guess what? Listen, thou shalt not lie. The world doesn't like liars. Oh, they'll condone it. They'll excuse it. They'll say it, there's a time and a place for it, as long as it reaches my goal or my outcome that I'm wanting. But God says it's wrong always. By the way, stealing is wrong always. By the way, murder is wrong always. Because we don't have the right to illegally take the life of somebody else. And that's just the way it is. But listen, what has our society been saying? Oh, no, listen, after they've been proven guilty beyond the shadow of a doubt, they don't get life. They get out on parole. And they commit it again. And they commit it. How many repeat offenders and murder do we have in our society when it should have been dealt with? And that's because some real intelligent person in their own mind decided to say, no, that can't be right. Two wrongs can't make a right. Wait. What do you mean two wrongs? The person murdered somebody and took that person from that family. So the right thing is that his life should go for it as payment for the sin they committed. And when the justice system says it's death now, that's not a wrong, that's justice. But the world will have none of that, because they like to play both sides as long as it fits their narrative. And they like to look like they're the good person when really they're bringing forth more wickedness into our society. And so therefore, we are imploding as a nation Forget about the politics. The morality is killing us. It is a cancer that is, that, listen, how many more years can we go before we don't even know what America, it doesn't even look like what we grew up with. It's falling apart. But wait a minute. Where does the responsibility fall? Listen, not on the world, on the child of God. If we are not serious about our walk with the Lord, there's no light. There's no light. We cannot condone the things that the world is doing if it's specifically if it's against God. If it's, listen, don't let the world put out your light. Did not Jesus Christ say, we are the light of the world? Wait a minute, why? Because Jesus Christ himself said, I am the light of the world. And that's why we are the light of the world, his light. And if it's his light, it's not our power. We have no light. The light in us has to be the light of Christ. And that comes by the righteousness of God. And we need to be serious about pursuing what God said life is really all about. Instead of floundering in our faith because we can't do it. Well, that's a no-brainer. None of us can. And God's not asking for sinless perfection, but he is asking that we be yielded to him that he might live his life in and through ours. And that's where the difference is made. Now, as we consider our text this morning, two kinds of meat, physical and spiritual. Two kinds of meat that people feed on, temporal and eternal. Is it possible for the child of God to be feeding just on the physical and neglecting the spiritual? Absolutely. And that will only bring failure, spiritually speaking, into our lives. Look at verse 20. In fact, look at verse 25 again. Notice what the Lord is saying. By the way, he fed the 5,000 prior to this. He also walked on the water, and that's what happened. Hey, where'd the Lord go? Oh, he must have went on the... How did you get here, Lord? He walked on the water. Listen, walking on the water can only be done by God, and that glorifies him. Feeding the multitudes with just the two fishes and the five loaves is a miracle that glorifies the Lord. And see, that's the glory of God, is the power of God. But listen, if all we're coming for is just kind of to just chalk off another message, or we're not looking for God in our lives, then there's no glory for the Lord. It's just kind of like an appeasement in our minds to appease our consciences or all kinds of crazy reasons for whatever reason people go to church other than the glory of God. And so consider this, verse 25, when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, whence camest thou hither? Now listen, Rabbi is an honorable name for a teacher, right? That's an honorable name. But they were not really about his honor. They were being fed, and the lame and the sick were being healed. But that, listen, there's nothing wrong with getting that from the Lord, but that's not why. That's not why we seek the Lord. It's that we realize who he is and that he is worthy of who we are. We have been, listen, if you're truly saved and you have eternal life, you know it. The Bible says so. These things have I written unto you that you may know. If it's I hope so, that's not God's salvation. He wants us to know. And listen, I'm not trying to make you afraid or anything or to cause you to doubt. But somewhere in the recesses of your heart, you've had an experience, a salvation experience with God that can't get erased. Case in point, I've doubted my salvation. The devil came in there and said, you're not saved. If you're saved, you wouldn't do this, that, and the other. That's what the devil did to me. And I would go, oh no, maybe I'm not saved. And then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit would say, to me, now you don't have to remember the exact time and day. I happen to remember it. But at least you can go back and say, oh no, listen. I know that God had given me the free pardon of sin by his grace. I can't forget that. Now, the devil will push all these things in front of us to get our eyes off of the Lord and what he did for us. But listen, I cannot forget the salvation that God has given to me. I would have never made it this long without Jesus. If it was just religion to me, I'd have,
I did. In fact, I told you the story. I made a profession of faith when I was 21. It didn't last 6 months. You know why? Because it was all me. I'll do the right thing now. I'll turn over a new leaf. I didn't know if I was really saved. I'll tell you what it did do. It hardened my heart to the things of God, because then when somebody 3 years later wanted to witness to me, you know what I told? I don't want to hear it. That's what I told them. I don't want to hear it. Thank you. I was being as kind as I could, but I was a little aggravated. And I said, I'm not really interested. And he went around and came back and witnessed to me. And God used the word that he opened up to me to help me to see that it's a gift of God. And if God's given a gift, you can mark it down. It's perfect. And he gave me eternal life. Now, am I perfect? No, not by any stretch of the imagination. But I will tell you this, and my family, my lost family will tell you, and my friends will tell you, I'm not the same person I used to be. I'm not perfect, but boy, oh boy, the things I used to do, I'm not hungering for those things. The places I used to go, I'm not going to those. I have no desire, because they're an abomination to the grace of my God and what he's given to me. And I don't want any part of that. But that's not something that I'm doing. That's something that God, he's given me something so much better. Amen. So here are these people. And consider here these two important kinds of meat here that the world goes after and that the spiritual people go after. And so here's an important instruction concerning God's gift. Listen to what's going on here. So verse 26, Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. The Lord is now revealing to them an important truth. He's saying, I want you to know something. Does Jesus know what he's talking about? Does he know the heart of man? He says, you're not coming to me because of the miracles that glorified me. You're coming to me because you received the physical things of this world, and that's your reasoning. Right there is a perfect time to put on the brakes and say, let me consider myself. According to what God has just said to me, see, but they didn't see him as the Son of God. They seen him as a prophet. They seen him as a rabbi, but they did not see him as the Lamb of God. And so their hearts were leading them further away, even though he was right there in their midst. So consider this. Listen, verse 27. The Lord is not finished. Remember, he told him, he says, you're coming to me because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Listen to what he says in verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perisheth. That's the temporal meat. He says, don't strive, don't work for the things that perisheth. The miracles. Listen, the food that they ate was not going to last forever. The healings, this body is still getting old, right? It's still going to wear away. Those things are perishing. It's not that God doesn't want to meet those needs, but he says, don't strive for those things. Consider the eternal. Listen, labor not for the meat that which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Listen to this, which the Son of Man shall what? Okay, for him hath God the Father sealed. He is redirecting their perspective or their focal point. They're thinking about the physical realm. He's saying you need to go after the things that are spiritual, because that's going to be long lasting. And that's not, listen, it's not going to matter whether you're healthy or whether you're sick when you have eternal life. Don't get me wrong. Listen, we experience physical difficulties and things of that nature, but we've got a hope that passes understanding in our salvation. And he's trying to tell them, get that hope and all the rest is added. Whether you have it or whether you don't, that's not going to be what's important. And they're in trouble. The Lord is pointing them in the right direction. And they say, yeah, let's just stop and consider what you have to say, Lord. I think maybe we need to stop and ask you to show us the way. Don't we need the Lord to show us the way? Well, unfortunately, that's not what they did. Verse 28 through 31, we find a misdirected heart and spiritual blindness in the people. Look at verse 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do? God said, I'm going to give it to you. If God gives it to us, he does it. He's not asking for them to do anything but to receive the truth. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Are they on the same plane? They're not in the same place at all. Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you something. They're saying, what shall we do? Well, since you put it that way, God's going to answer that question, but really it has nothing with them doing anything but receiving. Amen. Jesus, verse 29, answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. That's no work at all, really. I mean, if you want to call it, see, they wanted something to do. He said, okay, believe on the Son of God. That's what you need to do. And it still doesn't penetrate. Verse 30. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? They already seen it. They already were fed. They already saw that. Do you see the error of their way, their heart? Show us something. Show us something. No, no, no. Listen. You need a Savior. Your sins need to be dealt with. See, they place themselves over their sins. Their sins are what can... Our sins, as fallen man, our sins separate us. That's what needs to be dealt with, not what you can do. You see? Oh, you know, you crawl on glass and you make it to this point, and boy, oh boy, God's going to really accept you. You scourge yourself. You know, Martin Luther was whipping himself and fasting, and he thought the more pain he could endure, the more he would be accepted before the Lord, until he read the Bible where it says, for the just shall live by faith. And that word faith is interchangeable with the word trust. The just shall live by trust in God and what he did, not what we can do. See, our natural tendency is to look at what we can do, and God says, you'll never get it that way, because that doesn't glorify the Lord. It's a gift. You cannot purchase it. You don't have the wherewithal. There's nothing you can do, because even our righteousness, as the Bible says, are as filthy rags. That's the world. But if the believer truly doesn't understand the liberty that God has given to us in salvation, the world will never see Christ in us. They'll never see we could be a saved child of God, but we can be so distracted and so caught up with the things of the world that they have more of an influence on us. Don't answer this question. How much time do you spend every day in the Word of God and in prayer, meeting with the Lord? That's so important. If the internet or television or anything else takes all of your time and you have nothing to give to God, you're not going to get anything. You have to believe that he's a rewarder of those that seek him. That's what he said. I don't come to God for nothing. I want him to give me understanding. And praise God, it's liberating. Do you know what? Listen, I'm telling you, for the longest time, I thought I had to do it all. And I wanted to do it all, because I love the Lord who saved me. And you know what God told me? You savorest not the things that be of God, but of men. I've liberated you from that. You will never have the victory. You can come up with all these different kinds of things. Listen, the reason why the church has no power, it's not because they're not telling people about the Lord, and they're probably not telling people about the Lord. It's because they have allowed sin, what the Word of God calls sin, to infiltrate, and they're all right with it. And here's the excuse. I'm only human. God doesn't expect me. And so we watch... My goodness, the filth of the world. The filth of the world. I don't have a problem. I'll just tell you this. It's been many years ago, not too terribly many, but maybe 4 or 5 years ago, where all of a sudden Netflix, and I had a Netflix account to try to watch things that were at least wholesome as far as documentaries and different things. Netflix themselves produced a movie. I never saw it. But it portrayed the Lord as a homosexual. I didn't have to wait to say I'm done, because I'm not going to support any kind of an organization that blasphemes my God. Amen. Because God's called me out of the world. That was destroying me. And I'm not saying Netflix was, but when they did that, that was time to part ways. And we listen, we cannot play around with the things of God. But here's what we're saying. Well, we ought to do this and we ought to do that. God won't use a dirty vessel. He won't. And God's not asking you to clean yourself up either. He's saying, come to me and I'll do it. Because I will tell you, listen, personal experience. I love the Lord and I was frustrated for many years because I was defeated. Now listen, I didn't do a lot of things that my friends used to do that the world would say was all right. But I'm telling you, I battled my flesh. And I'm not saying that I don't still battle my flesh, but I'm telling you, God showed me something in him that I never saw, just the abiding part in Christ. As you abide in him and he abides in you, his yoke truly is easy and light. It doesn't mean that we don't go through trials and difficulties, but God gives us a desire to step away from those things that we didn't have before. We still have the natural man. And by the way, that's what this group is dealing with. Notice what the Lord says here in verse 32. This is the bread of God. So remember what they were saying. Tell us, what shall we do that we can do the works of God, right? Then look at verse 31. Our fathers, look at the natural realm. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Now listen. Listen to what the Lord says here as he's trying to show them the real bread of God. 32, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread which is from heaven. Who is that? Jesus. Listen to what the Lord says. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. It's a life-giving thing. It's not a temporal thing. It's not just a momentary thing. It's an eternal thing. Verse 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me, listen to this, shall never hunger. I have never hungered for any other understanding of what life was all about. When I got saved, I never wondered anymore what life was about. I remember as a young teenager, I'd lay out after school and I'd come home. If it was overcast, I'd lay out on my mom had a 1972 Cutlass, Oldsmobile Cutlass. It had a long, this was when cars were made out of real metal, right? You could lay on the hood and they wouldn't crinkle or crunkle or, you know. I'm laying out there and thinking, what is going to happen after this life? I don't know why, but that really was a thing that crossed my mind. Do we just go into nothingness? I cannot tell you how often I thought about things like that. And then I thought, well, you just do the best you can and that's life. And then God got a hold of me and showed me what life was all about. And it was in his son. Life in his son. Purpose, eternal hope. You know, since that point of salvation, I never had to really worry about, unless I caused my own doubt, but God brought me right back. I'm in his hands. And I know it. And you know what? He wants us to know it. God, listen, does God want us to be blown around by every wind of doctrine? The Muslims have the truth. No, they don't. No, they don't. It's not of grace. The Mormons, you might offend somebody. The Mormons don't have the truth. Listen, the Catholics don't have the truth. The Jehovah's Witnesses don't have the truth. There's only one place where the truth is found, and that's in Jesus Christ. Amen. And since the day I've trusted the Lord, and by the way, people say, well, you're going to offend somebody. How much more offensive will it be when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and they say, why didn't you ever tell me? You knew it. I think that'll be more offensive, don't you? There's a lot of things that offended me in my ignorance. We forget about that. Everybody's worried about, listen. The debauchery of the world is condemning the world. And if we don't tell them the truth, we'll have their blood on our hands. But how are we walking through this world? You see, listen, we've got to be willing to say, I follow, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. I'm going to walk with him. And by the way, listen, that's what's needed if the world's ever going to know. But if the child of God is complacent in their relationship with the Lord, forgotten him, there's no light. Now listen, please, this is not what I'm telling you. Don't go tomorrow and start preaching to everybody. That's not what I'm telling you. Let God glorify himself in your life over your sins. Listen, the world does not need to hear words. They need to see the power of God. Amen. In your life and mine. Don't listen to me. Oh, I'm going to start telling people about Jesus. No, no. And that comes. But your life better match up what you're preaching. If not, save it. Because they'll just see you as a hypocrite. They got religion now. No, they better see that you got Jesus. They better see something different than what they've ever seen or heard before. We make a mockery of the things of God. And with good intention sometimes. Don't get me wrong on that. Is it wrong to preach the gospel? No. It's not wrong. But if we're going to say something to people that know us and see us all the time and there's no change, what's the difference? Whether they know the Lord or not in their eyes, I see no difference. God has to be the difference in our life or we have nothing to give. All right, so he explains. Verse 33, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore, give us this bread. Listen how Jesus explains this, right? And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. Listen to what the Lord says here in verse 37. He says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. The Father's involved. God's involved. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Do you see the exchange there? It is a revelation of God in the life of the individual. It is God doing all the work. God's giving it to the Son. He's the bread of life. He made the sacrifice. And God the Father is actively involved and engaged in opening up our eyes to understand that we just need to believe on the Lord and receive what he's done. And they're not really getting it. So they're saying, hey, Lord, give us this bread. What are they thinking when they say, give us this bread? We want to eat of that. Oh, he's getting ready to tell them. We're not going to get there. But he's getting ready to tell them, my flesh is bread indeed. My blood is drink indeed. Oh, who can hear this man? But they just said, give it to us. Because they don't know what they're asking for. They're not understanding the Lord. It is a spiritual thing that takes place that God does. See, we're not really eating the flesh. Jesus never meant that. And eating and drinking of his blood. It's a work that God does in our hearts and minds. We cannot come to the Father. It falls on deaf ears. Unless we're saying, here, ready, Lord? I'm hearing something, and I don't understand it. Show me. Now you've got God's attention. But as long as you're just hearing words, and you don't know that it has to do with your eternal soul, there's nothing there. It's a work of God. I can preach the truth till I'm blue in the face, and if the Holy Spirit doesn't open and quicken the heart to hear the truth, nothing happens. That's the truth. Now, we who profess to have understanding and an open heart and spiritual understanding, what are we doing with the truth that God's giving to us? Are we taking it to him and saying, Lord, make this work and make your truth work in my life? Lord, I'm hearing the truth, and there's a contradiction in my life. Change me. The fruit of the Spirit, meekness, gentleness, kindness, long-suffering. All these things, God, you do them in my life. Don't try to manufacture them. That's not what he's asking. Verse 39, listen here again. He says, And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, the Father did this, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son, see, question, are these people in his presence seeing who he is, seeing him? They're seeing him physically, they don't know him spiritually. They're seeing him and believe on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. They saw him, but they didn't see him. Listen, spiritually speaking, we are born blind unless God opens up our sight. All right, the last thought, the missing ingredient, verse 41. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. They're murmuring at him. They're not happy with him. He's the bread of life. What is he trying to say? Well, that should have been, listen, if he spoke the truth and if he said, man, never, it was never done like he's done it before, he must be of God. Well, then maybe you ought to listen to him and ask him. But they're not doing that. And here's what they said. Ready? They murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Look at their rationale, verse 42. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Did you see that? It's a work of God. It is written in the... And by the way, listen, if you've been stirred in any way, you better ask God, do your work in me. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Listen, I said it last week, I think. A revelation from God is more important than anything that I can ever teach you from the Word of God. Because that is the Holy Spirit engaged with the Word of God in your life, revealing to you truths that I cannot ever do. Ever, ever, ever. I can point you to the truth. I don't have a problem saying that. God is supreme. The Holy Spirit is supreme. The church is important. It is the body of Christ that God had instituted to honor and glorify him. I'm not taking anything away from the preaching of the Word of God. But what I'm trying to tell you is God wants to communicate to you and I personally. And what God can show you and teach you will be more important than anything I could ever teach you. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. Some preachers might be offended at that. I'm not. I'm a mortal being. Imperfect. No power without God. I'm nothing without the Lord. And unless the Lord bless his word, it doesn't do a work. And I believe God wants to do it. I believe God is blessing his word. Verse 43, Jesus therefore answered and said to them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard, hath learned of the Father, cometh unto me. If they're hearing from the Lord and they're learning, you're going to come to the Lord. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Jesus said that. I didn't say that. And notice what he says, verse 48, and this is the last verse. I am the bread of life. Two reasons why people seek the Lord. Physical needs or spiritual needs. Temporal needs or eternal needs. I'm thinking, listen, time is short. We are imploding as a nation. If there was ever a time needed for the light of God in us, it's now. I don't know when the Lord's coming back. And just to comfort... you know, the next generation, it may be 20, 30, 40 years. I don't think so. I think it would be healthy to do this. Ready? Live like you're going to live your whole life, but live like he can come back now. Not tomorrow, now, today, right now. And the Lord says, hey, he says, listen, that's Jesus on our heart, knocking on our door. If we'll open to him, what does that mean? Lord, I'm actually asking you to direct me. Oh, I'll come in and show you. Are you asking God for his direction, or do you think you just have to do it on your own? Because God is saying, I'm knocking. And if you'll open up the door and say, show me the way, do you think you'll do that? Do you think God will show us the way if we open the door? He wants to. That's a little bit of faith we have that God has given to us. I believe you, God. I believe you. I need to stop looking to myself. That's what every believer should be saying. And listening to the Word of God. Because in the words of God are life and light and the love and all the things that God wants to bless us with. Amen. So it's the Lord's invitation for the child of God and for those who may not know him. He says, ask of me. And he says, I'll freely give. It cost him his life. But he's wanting to give it, if we'll ask. Would you stand? As we prepare for the Lord's invitation, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the wisdom and understanding your word brings. I pray, Lord, that you would bless this time, that we might, even right there where we stand, call upon you to show us your ways and not the way that we think or understand, but that you might guide us in your light. Bless, Lord, if there's one here that knows you not as Savior, may they understand it's a gift that you've already provided. We're just the recipients of it, and you do everything else. Bless, Lord. We'll thank you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.